Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Welcome to episode 2 of the official Nerd Talk podcast, Geek Speak. I'm your host, Sean, and joined as always on this lovely episode 2 is my co-host, Josh, the whack-a-mole reactor, Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for?
I'd ask, what is a whack-a-mole reactor?
I have no idea!
And, like, what trait of mine allowed this name to come about?
I just thought it sounded silly!
I'm fine with silly.
At first I typed in Josh the Terminator Rudy Rudolph, but I think the whack-a-mole reactor. Like, my vision for you now is you're just doing reaction videos of people playing whack-a-mole. Like, oh, this is a good hit. And that was it.
I think once this gains enough popularity and once we get enough, we make t-shirts of just, like, all the different names that you've called me.
Last time you were just the lovely and rambunctious co-host. I'm going to give you a different nickname every time. This is Josh, Rudy, Rudolph. Rudy's not his middle name, but he goes by Rudy also because there's a lot of Josh's, and like the last time, he didn't win the Josh fight, so we had to call him something else.
Yeah, and I prefer to be the only good Rudy in the world because you got Rudy Giuliani. He was...
Anyway, sorry for talking fast at times last time. I'll work on it more. I know I talked fast, but I edited the whole podcast last time. Anyway, today we're going to actually change things up a bit with the segment order because we usually would start with the DCOMs, the Disney Channel Original Movies, which if you're new here, we do every week a Disney Channel Original Movie going from the very beginning through modern day. Once a week, we're going to watch them and discuss them less on a merit-based system of like objectivity, good and bad, because no movie's good and bad. It's all about subjectivity. And these movies are not our demographic. We are judging them based on anything random we think of, pretty much.
Yep, pretty much, especially this week's movie.
I have like 5 pages of notes. I want to see 1, 2, 3 pages of notes.
I got so many notes.
We'll get to it in a minute.
It's bonkers.
But we're moving the order in this because we have a barrage of news this week.
A lot.
But before we get to even that, I want to address something that happened this, like, 2 days ago on an app called Tickety Tockety.
What is this Tickety Tockety?
This is
exactly
a clock
what
app.
Happened.
You can watch clocks? No.
Oh.
So this is us.
Never mind. Continue.
No, go on. Tangent time. Go on.
It's not a tangent. That thing where you were like it's an app where you can watch clocks. In like season either 4 or 5 of BoJack Horseman, there is a website where it suggests about whattimeisitnow.com. You go to the website just to find out what time it is.
On that
note, that's the entire thing.
Look up the website, isitchristmas.com.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Christmas.com. No, it is not Christmas.
It just says the word no. On Christmas, guess what? It says yes.
Oh,
also,
that makes sense.
If you're on that site with other people at the same time, your flag will show from where you are. That's pretty fun. Yeah. Anyway, on a different note, so on TikTok this week, this is not really a news, but it's probably why all you are here right now listening. So my girlfriend did a video on TikTok. It was just like an audio sound, and then just have your boyfriend or partner react to it. She didn't mean to be any malice by it, but it started with the audio is something along the lines, what was it? It's okay for relationships to end. Pause. Not ours though. You're stuck with me. We'll be here forever. It was cute. But it went viral with over 5 million views. Or I think almost 6 million views or something like that. Because I started tearing up a lot. And then she noticed, and then she came and hugged me. It was really cute. Like, Josh, you saw the video. It wasn't. It was completely harmless. You could tell, right?
Oh, completely harmless. Like, I know you, like, and, like, you, I can tell exactly, like, your emotions behind it and what it all was. And without having TikTok and not, like, seeing this go viral and hearing you talk about, like, the views keep going up, they keep going up, we're in the millions now, what is happening? It was a very interesting few days, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. And so I also made a video then about a day later on my own TikTok page saying, hey, check out this podcast. So if you're here at all from that, thank you for coming here. If you want to see the TikTok, look up Nicole Mund 1 on TikTok. You'll find her. She gained over 5,000 followers within 24 hours. So now she's over 8,000. I'm at like 800 or something like that. And it's wild. I didn't do anything. Neither did she. She had 45, then the next day had like 7,000. That's crazy. Anyway, that happened on TikTok, and now. Do. No, it's not news time. It's stats time. So we started a podcast this last week, and we have analytics now.
Analytics.
I actually love analytics. We have viewers from places. We have spiking views.
They should be in this world. If they're not, that's more
It
interesting.
looks like this week we might have gained like 13, 14, 15 listens. I can't tell. It's not full data yet for anything. But let's see. We have on our reach, we got two listeners yesterday. That's cool.
Whoa.
On sources, we have Spotify is our biggest source, which is not surprising to me.
Thank you to all Spotify listeners, and no matter what you're listening on, thank you for listening to
Also,
us.
we've gained over 6 followers on Spotify now, so that's pretty hype.
Hell yeah.
And location, it's mostly United States with 11 out of the whatever number it is here. And then we have Canada here, but the first person to listen to us outside the United States was from Belgium. So thank you, Belgium. Oh,
Thank you,
a new
Belgium. I do
country.
like your waffles.
Brazil joined the army. Thank you. The army, the
Hey,
nerds.
Brazil, thank you.
So US, United States, Canada, Belgium, Philippines, and Brazil, thank you. And Canada, yeah, I said that. So that's all 5 countries I've seen this podcast so far. If you want to see the podcast or listen to it, you're already here, so thank you.
I thought you were going to say that's all 5 countries in the world. Thank you very much. Like, that's just all the countries in the world.
That's not quite right.
I think there's a like at least 7 more.
Yeah, Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Also, like, the rest of the world is awesome. So, everyone who lives in the world, thank you for living here. I don't know what I'm
Thank
saying.
you.
I have tired. Anyway, we're on the next part of this podcast. That was the stats. Woo! If you want to email us or get a shout out for yourself, you can email us at nerdtalkproductionsyt@gmail.com or tweet at us at nerdtalk_broad, and we will give shout outs to people for random things. That's fun. But we have news, Josh.
We certainly do. It has been a very big week for news on a lot of different topics.
So last week we said on the movie Knives Out 2. Last week we mentioned one person got cast, and we mentioned who was it? I don't
It was
Dave
Dave
Bautista.
Bautista.
And then that like a few hours later, like 5 hours later, more news dropped of Edward Norton from his fame in the movie Incredible Dulk. And the kite flub.
The kite flub.
Yes. Okay, so Edward Norton got cast in Knives Out 2 and from you know he's in Fight Club, he's in Incredible Hulk, he's a lot of amazing things, American History X. Great actor. I'm fine with that.
I'm happy with that.
Although it's still following the trend of famous people, like Agatha Christie style.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know what it wouldn't really. It's not really a Knives Out 2 because it's not the same.
It's just following the mysteries of Daniel Craig's character, Benoit Blanc, which is a name I absolutely love.
I prefer calling him KFC Sherlock Holmes like I did last time.
That's also a great name.
That being said, this is still a nay for me because it's not. It's going on Netflix. So, all
That is
casting news is
true.
still a nay for this movie because it's still on Netflix and not in theaters.
But there have been many more people that have been cast this week. Would you like to tell us who they are, Sean?
We got Katherine Hahn, aka Agatha, all along. She's also in Parks and Recreation. She's in WandaVision. She's in so many things. She's a great comedic actress, phenomenal in everything. So love her.
Yes.
Leslie Odom Jr. Leslie Odom
He's
Jr.
in
What?
No, I was just going to say, he's in that little musical called Hamilton. I don't know if anyone listening to the podcast has heard of that yet.
I haven't. What's that?
It's like this little indie underground musical. It was just about Alexander Hamilton. I think it uses like rap music and other kinds of forms of music to tell his story. I haven't really heard of it. I think it's on Disney Plus and
Oh, rap, like under wraps, like DComs, like our podcast. Anyway, Leslie Odom Jr. is great. His Aaron Burr in Hamilton is great. Yeah. Now we have Janelle Monáe, who I don't know if I've seen her in anything, honestly.
You've seen her in Moonlight and Hidden Figures.
Oh, that's who. Okay, yes, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's a great actress.
It's the one I knew the name of, but couldn't think of like who it against mm-hmm. that. Anyway, yeah, great actress. This might be a weekly trend of Knives Out 2 castings, because it's keep happening.
I'm willing to bet as soon as like this episode goes up, five more people will have been cast.
I hope so. It gives us more things to talk about. Okay, next up is a mini little rant I'm going to have about this one.
I think I know what this is.
A trailer dropped for a movie musical. A movie musical called Dear Evan Hansen. No, Dear Evan Hansen. I actually was wearing a Dear Evan Hansen t-shirt I had. Today. That was fun.
I did see that.
Yeah, that was purposeful because we're doing this podcast. Now I'm wearing an N64 shirt. But
so do you want me to talk about it first, or do you want to talk about it first?
I think I'll jump in first because I've seen the show.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Dear Evan Hansen in 2016 on Broadway, the original cast. Not trying to brag, I'm saying that's an experience I've had, and I understand the show because I've seen the full context. Before I saw the show, I listened to only act one, then went in blind with the rest of it. I also didn't look up anything. I just listened to the first act and then select the songs. I wanted to get into it before I saw the show. And oh my god, it's amazing. I'm bawling from the end of act one to like through act two because it's so emotional. Anyway, this trailer was honestly both great and terrible. I say terrible as someone who's seen the show because of the reason it shows the whole show. Like, without the songs, it still shows pretty much the whole story. And I don't love that part. But other than that, Ben actually looks okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't expect him to, I was thinking he looks too old because he's like 27. I wanted mm-hmm. to go to someone else. But the curlier hair, like letting it grow out a little more, helps him make him look younger for one thing. Did they CGI his face? I can't tell. Maybe.
It couldn't happen. It would have been makeup, and this isn't the first thing he's been playing a high schooler in. He's on that Netflix show, The Politician. He's still playing a high schooler, and I think a lot of people got mad about the casting because, of course, of his age. But like, you look at the landscape of like all sorts of high school stuff. Like, no one is their actual age. Everyone is at least like 5 years older than what their characters are supposed to be. So like, once you like just think about that for like a second, then like I can put it past my mind. Like, he's definitely older than what he should be.
I also think that's pretty funny. The only part that doesn't need to sing, they gave to Amy Adams, which I think is really funny. Like, if you don't need a singing part role, just get a huge star, because you can be anyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great. I'm excited for it. Like, I'm giving. Knives Out news. Yay or nay?
I give it a yay because I love the cast, but I also give it a nay. I like to give it both.
Pick one.
Because Netflix.
Pick one.
No, I want to give it both.
defeats the whole purpose of this.
Fine, I'll give it a nay because it's still
there
a Netflix movie.
Until Netflix changes it, I'm giving this Knives Out 2 casting news a nay.
Netflix isn't changing it. Lionsgate sold it. They're sellouts, which is a theme of the movie, the DCOM we're talking about today. They sold out to Netflix for reasons that I honestly don't understand.
That's really weird. I get idiot maybe during COVID, but it's not coming out as much during you could wait. Anyway, so Dear Evan Hansen, yay on this trailer, but also like I'm excited. I think it's fine. I love they didn't show why Connor did what he did in this. Mm-hmm. I still think this trailer showed too much, like a lot. If it showed only Act 1 stuff, it'd be okay. But it shouldn't have shown anything past that to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you ended on the You Will Be Found speech of like the Connor scene, like mm-hmm. on the stage, show that scene, like that could be the end of the first trailer, or any trailer really. And yeah. it's like, what's going to happen next? And you think that might be the end of the movie, but like, no, there's a lot more.
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen the show, and you haven't listened to music much.
No, when it comes to like Broadway stuff, I don't really like to listen to like the soundtrack if I haven't seen the show, because A, I'm not really gonna get the context of a lot of it, and like it's not gonna like impact me or like mean as much to me. If it's something like Hamilton, where the entire thing is the soundtrack, then that's a different story. But here, it clearly is not the entire thing. So I would rather kind of go in blind to the movie or the show, whichever it is that I see first, to get that full experience. And I honestly like really like the trailer. I do understand where you're coming from, that yeah, I do think it does show a lot, even without my knowledge of the show, because I don't know much about the show aside from what you've told me. But I still think that it's definitely giving you a good idea of like the kind of emotions that you're going to be feeling during the show, and it doesn't hide from the, I guess, the not harsh reality, but the definite reality of the realness of it all, despite it being a musical and being from the Josh, writer and director of what?
You said the reality of the realness.
Look, my wording is fantastic, okay? but I told you this earlier when the trailer came out, that to me it feels like it's kind of like a musical version of Perks of Being a Wallflower, and oh, yeah, getting the writer-director of that to make this, I think, was a great choice.
Yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. Not casting, but yeah, casting of director, that's great. When I saw it, it just made me happy. So one thing about this trailer that I didn't like compared to the, when they were promoting their original stage show, the only thing they really said is that it's a story of a young boy struggling with anxiety, and it goes about a lie that goes too far. That was pretty much all they ever said during the campaign of the show. I wish they pretty much focused more on that angle without showing too much more than that. Anyway, You said our piece. Next up is the trailer for the Friends reunion, Josh. As someone who's never watched Friends, have you seen this trailer?
I've seen part of it. I see that like it's just them kind of like reuniting like on the set, just like reminiscing about stories. James Corden is hosting it, which I think that's an interesting choice. Like, I don't know how big of a, I get that, like, you know, he's famous and everything, but like I feel like it would be more fun if it was just them, kind of like how they did the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion, where it was just the cast talking. I feel like that would have been more fun if it was just them reminiscing about everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't be minding like a host of some sort, but maybe make it one like someone from the show, or someone who works on the show more, not James Corden. James Corden is an interesting character. We're moving past that pretty fast. Let's go to the Friends trailer, though. I like that it was not a reunion episode.
Yeah,
but it had elements of that kind of, like, where they were a little bit in character at some points, and that was kind of fun. It's cute. If you watch the show, if you like the show, you'll probably like this trailer. It's fun. It doesn't spoil. It's just it's them. Next up, we have our first article news thing. It's from Deadline. John Boyega is set to reunite with Joe Cornish for Attack the Block 2. It's a great movie.
It really is.
We watched that in our global horror class together. That was fun.
We did, and I think, like, out of, like, all the Alien movies, like, that we were supposed to watch, that I'm glad that was the only one that we chose to watch. There's a lot more of that class we were supposed to watch for that topic, but we didn't, except for Attack the Block, and I'm happy with that, because that was a really fun movie.
Yeah. It's great. I'm fine with this. You fine with this?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see where they could go with this for the first sequel.
Spoiler alert. The first one ends in a way that's not very easy to do a sequel, I'd say.
No, but it ends in kind of like a realistic way to like how everything happened, and I like it when movies like this, like sci-fi, kind of add those real elements to it. It makes it more interesting in my eyes.
Yeah, it's like the Get Out alternate ending there. It's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so yay for this.
Yes, yay.
I'm gonna give you yay for the Friends trailer. What do you say about that? Yay or nay? If you haven't seen the trailer fully.
I'll give it a yay because it seems like they're having a fun time, but I don't think I'm going to give it a nay because, like, I haven't seen the show, so, like, it wouldn't make sense for me to give it a nay, but more kind of yay for the spirit and the fun of it all.
I'm giving it a yay for one reason, and that's because Jennifer Aniston said that they were on a break, and that's why it's a yay, because it's correct. Anyway, moving on to Batgirl news. Bad Boys Batgirl. For Life filmmakers to direct Batgirl movie for Warner's, courtesy, again, of... Oh, no, this is Hollywood Reporter. Courtesy of Hollywood Reporter. Any thoughts, Josh, on this?
I think that this is a good choice. Bad Boys for Life is actually like a pretty good and solid movie. And they're also going to be directing the Ms. Marvel show for Disney Plus. So I think it's cool that they're dipping their toes into kind of both and seeing like what they can do with both Marvel and DC. I'm happy that Joss Whedon is not attached to this movie anymore. I am disappointed, though, that this is going to be an HBO Max movie, because that's something with DC that I'm not really liking. They're going to be like, we're going to make DC movies, but they're not all going to theaters. Some will go to theaters, but some will go to HBO Max. And it's just like, some of the ones going to HBO Max are just like the ones that they are like scared of not doing well at the box office, which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, and this is also going to make things more confusing with continuity, which we'll get into later tonight for our topic. But that being said, I like that Kristen Hudson, who wrote Bumblebee, is in the fold with this movie. That's pretty cool.
Yes,
like it's people. First person who penned the script for The Flash and Birds of Prey is also working on this. Well, there's good people behind this, and I all for that. It's just there's weird choices being made in DC, and we'll get to that as a topic for our episode today. So, like, is DCU dead? We'll find out soon. Next thing I want to talk about, though, with you, Josh, is something that you have talked, that you've seen, the rise of G.I. Joe Boy.
What he's talking about is there was a short teaser release today for Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins. This is the origin story of the character from G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes. He's the guy dressed all in black. He's the ninja. He never talks. In the original movies, he was played by Ray Parker and Ray Park, yes, my bad. Ray Park, and then, like, in flashback scenes, he was played by a white kid. So to call this G.I. Joe Origins, but to have an actual Asian man play the character and yet still have it associated with the other movies is kind of funny to me. But from what I've seen in the trailer, it seems pretty solid, at least, like, in terms of action. I like it when martial arts movies like these actually, like, really hold the camera steady. No quick cuts or things like that. I think it makes it a lot cooler. Henry Golding, I think he's a great actor. Loved him in Crazy Rich Asians and A Simple Favor. So for him to take the next step into action territory, I'm really excited to see what he could do with this.
Nice. Ooh, burp. Yeah, I didn't see the trailer. I've seen G.I. Joe 1 and maybe 2? I don't remember. It's a long time ago. We'll get to my eventually in the podcast.
They are both very forgettable films. But my favorite thing with this is that it's not just called Snake Eyes. They have to add G.I. Joe Origins. They clearly did not take the correct lesson from titling of X-Men Origins Wolverine. Yeah. Don't make it seem like you're making more origin movies. I don't think that people want more G.I. Joe origin movies.
That's literally why I'm giving this an A. It's because the title is reminding me of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah. I think I'll give it a yay, because I'm excited, despite me not really caring at all about the first two or even G.I. Joe as a whole.
Do you know what excited means then? That does not sound excited at all.
No. For this movie specifically, for the franchise as a whole.
That's fair. Next up, I have some news about Batman. He's a Batman. Dude who does things.
He is.
Well, fictionally. So, Batman Caped Crusader is an animated show being made on HBO with producing? Producer Matt Reeves said it at it. Bruce Timm's working on it. J.J. Abrams is working on it. It'll be on HBO Max and Cartoon Network. And the image that comes up for it is, like, the long-eared Batman. I am intrigued, but also, why?
Well, from the way it sounds like they're trying to harken back to the days of the original Batman animated series show, but kind of more for, like, this generation to experience something similar to that. And I think with Matt Reeves, who's writing and directing The Batman to come out next year, and then J.J. Abrams, and then what's the other guy's name that I've already forgotten?
I have up right here. It is Bruce Timm. He made the original show.
Exactly. And so combining all three of them together to make a show like kind of faithful to the original, but still being its own thing, has me excited for what it could be. Art style, I really hope that they make it hand-drawn and like similar, but not like the original, if that makes sense.
Do you remember on the original show, I don't even know this, they used black paper. for all of it.
Yes, I did know that. That's one of the first things I ever learned about the show.
It's so gothic because of that. Then they just colored in on top of that. So they worked and they added the negatives and left, like, I mean, they added the positive, like, and left the negative. Like, it was really cool. Mm-hmm. I love that art. Like, that was, it's naturally shadows. And then they had to add in the highlights. That's so cool. That'd be great if they did that again. I'm all for that. But in general, this, they said, and the quote here is, "It is always fun to feed the insatiable appetite fans have for all things Batman. Batman Caped Crusader will entertain first-time and diehard fans alike. And with such an impressive creative team in place, we know we have our future Batman classic in the making," said Aschheim. Well, I don't know who that is, but he said it.
Wasn't the last animated Batman show, wasn't it like Beware the Batman like 6-7 years ago or something like that? It wasn't in, like, one season.
Right now it's Justice League Action, I think, is still on, which is he's in. But yeah, it's been a while. I think the best Batman show since the animated series has been The Batman, which is great. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched that yet, you all should watch that. Because it's like a year three Batman, he's so new, and you can see his voice changes to the show, as well as his jaw widens, like his chin. Become more classic Batman. Like
that just sounds funny to me. It's like the longer you're Batman, the wider your chin becomes.
And like, yeah, then in Fast and the Future, he's like has a huge chin, like Crimson Chin style later on. Anyway, I'm giving this a yay, I guess, because I like Batman, but also I don't really care.
Go on.
If you like the animated series, then just go watch that. Like, that's all you need to do. And watch the Justice League Unlimited, watch Justice League, watch the Superman animated series, Static Shock, Batman Beyond, all the stuff in that world still exists. You can go watch that. So, it's just fun. I love new content in DC and Marvel, so I'm giving that a yay, but also, I don't really care this time.
I'm going to give it a yay. I'm excited. I love this team behind it. I have faith in them. It sounds like that DC Warner Brothers like won't be like pushing into like you have to do this. Like it'll be like it's be allowed to be its own thing. And like I know I always complain about there's too much Batman stuff, but like when it's something like this, I'm like okay, you know what? I'm fine. You got me. I'm excited. So yeah, I'm going to give it a yay.
Next up, we're going to talk about a movie. I think it's a movie. Yeah. Disney's Jungle Cruise. Is that a movie? I don't even know what's happening with that. That's why it's your news.
Yeah, so Jungle Cruise, like most movies this year, was originally supposed to come out last year. It stars Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt. I'm pretty sure it's based on a Disney roller coaster ride of the same name. And now it's finally coming out to theaters this year. But it's been announced that it's going to be coming out both in theaters and on Disney Plus on July 30th. But with similar to films like Mulan, Ryan the Last Dragon, Black Widow, and soon to be Black Widow and Cruella, if you want to watch on Disney Plus, you gotta pay $30 for it.
Which it makes sense for a filmmaking point of view. You gotta make money back.
Yeah, but from the trailer, like it seems like it's a very kind of kid friendly, like Indiana Jones. It seems like Emily's character should be the main character, but because Dwayne Johnson is in it, like it's going to become more his kind of thing. So take that as you will. I'll still see it. I'll be seeing it in theaters. I'm fully vaccinated and everything like that. But I don't know if it's going to be one it's definitely not one that I'm like excited to see. And so, yeah, I'm going to give this an A just because, like, I'm just not that excited for the movie.
Considering I forgot it existed, I'm going to have to give it an A. but that, again, because it's another Dwayne Johnson in a jungle movie. How many do we need, Hollywood?
Well, we got two Jumanji ones right now. Right.
I thought this was that for in the movie for a second. I don't really care, but, like, again, I'm not trying to bash on if you do. Like, okay, that's awesome. Like, my girlfriend loves Disney, so I'm probably going to see it in theaters.
Before we move on to the next bit of news, I just want to say something. This takes place like in like the early 1900s. Like if you look at photos of like muscular men from back then, like where in the world is Dwayne Johnson like getting his muscles like in this world? Like that's probably like out of everything, that's one of the most unrealistic things to me, because just like muscle men from like the 1920s are not Dwayne Johnson in the slightest. So I need to know what his jungle workout is.
It's eating those bananas, swinging on some vines, of course.
Oh, so he took the Shia LaBeouf Indiana Jones 4 method.
Oh my god.
Looking out.
Whew, what a movie. Yeah, but also, I'm going to do a cool segue in a minute for some fun things, for our main topic, you'll see. But soon we're going to do a Superman show news. Assuming right now. Superman show called My Adventures with Superman. Starring Jack Quaid. It's an animated show. It's getting 2-season order from HBO Max and Cartoon Network. Jack Quaid is in shows like The Boys? Yeah?
Yes, he's like the main... He's one of the main characters of the show.
Yeah, what else is he in? Is he in Shazam? No.
No, he's in The Boys, as we just said. He's the voice of the main character on the animated Star Trek show, Lower Decks. He was in the first Hunger Games. Yeah, he's been around just kind of everywhere doing his thing. And now, since The Boys, he's getting a lot more leading roles. So I think this is going to be fun to see what he could do as Superman.
And if either of us seem unprepared for any segments, it's because this is a lot of news this week and stuff kept jumping on us. Like, more news kept happening. Look, I'm keeping up with this. No, I'm not. What's happening now?
Like today, like 5 of our news things like popped up today alone.
It's a bit much. Which is why I'm actually gonna skip on one of the news I gave you. I'm sorry. No Xbox news today.
No, but GTA 5. No.
Next up, if you want to look up Xbox news, just Google Xbox and click on news. You can hear some stuff. Next up is about J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams. On the double-edged sword of producing DC movies and whether he'll direct any of them. He said, the few things that I'm working on now as a writer are original ideas. That's kind of cool, I guess, but his original ideas are usually status quo-based. Force Awakens, it's an original idea, but it's kind of bringing things back to how it was. Star Trek, kind of bringing things back to his how it was and stuff. He's fine. Lost is cool for the first bit. I have little opinion on this. He's writing and producing a Superman movie, supposedly. We'll find out if this actually happens.
We know he's at least producing it. They haven't really given word, as far as I'm aware, on writer or director yet. But he said that he's not going to be directing it.
Yeah.
I personally like him as a director. I think Mission Impossible 3 is really good. Super 8 is probably my favorite film of his. I think both his Star Trek movies are good. Into Darkness is underrated, but I do understand fans like not liking it for certain reasons. There's a lot that I like in it. Force Awakens is a lot of fun, despite a lot of the similarities to A New Hope. And then I need to rewatch The Rise of Skywalker, and that's all I'm going to say on it.
Same, because we both came out loving it, and now I feel like we're both going with not liking it again if you see it again.
I know there's going to be moments in it that I'm still going to love, but I know there's probably going to be a lot of my opinions that are going to be changing on it.
It was the very much, oh look, new Star Wars feeling. And that was that was the feeling. Like how when I first watched The Last Airbender, I'm like, look, it's Avatar. I'm like, it's not Avatar.
That wasn't the kind of feeling I had like when Solo came out. But granted, I never really cared from that movie even when it was announced, so that could also be why.
This one you were actually excited for. We both love Last Jedi, so that's...
Oh, yeah, Last Jedi is fantastic. If you don't like Last Jedi, well, I'm sorry for you listeners.
Well, but stay here, because your opinion is also valid, and you're totally right more than we are, so stay here listening. But the Superman movie, I don't even know if it's going to happen anymore, because this has been said for over a year, pretty much, of this on and off. That's the news? That's the Geekly Weekly... The Geekly Weekly.
That's a lot of news.
Yeah, that has been 33 minutes of the podcast so far has been mostly that. Next up is DCOMs. So we watched... Actually, we should probably... I had a good segue with the DC stuff and the DC news.
You did.
I did. I ruined it.
Do you want to do DCOM after the main topic?
Yeah, this is still a bad segue now. But anyway, so... DC news happened, and I'm letting Josh take lead on this a little bit because he did more research on this because I asked him to because I was tired this week. But basically, will the DCEU be dying or invigorated or what's happening? Because Warner Bros. Is having changes.
They are having some big changes. AT&T, not too long ago, announced that they are merging Warner Media, which owns Warner Brothers and HBO, with Discovery. Discovery Channel, HGTV, the Food Network, basically all that kind of reality television. And they're forming them into one big kind of like media, I guess conglomerate would be the best way to say it. This is a bit of surprise, especially to everyone. I'll get into that very shortly, but because only like in 2018 was when the deal of AT&T buying Time Warner before it got changed to Warner Media got complete. And so when the deal originally happened for AT&T owning Warner Media, Walter Hamada was president, and this is kind of I'm relating this back to DC for a minute. Walter Hamada was named the president of DC-based film projects, while Jeff Johns and John Berg became the head of DC Movies after the critical and box office receptions to Suicide Squad and the theatrical Justice League. Now, if that is not ironic, then I don't know what is. And this is a quote from the head of Warner Brothers at the time. "I'm confident Walter and Jeff, working with our filmmaking partners, will deliver films that will resonate with both broad global audiences as well as DC fanboys and fangirls." Again, the irony writes itself here.
I also hate this into fanboys and fangirls as fans. Because both those terms are used derogatory so much.
Yeah.
But then
then in January of this year, Walter Hamada had extended his contract as president of DC Films up through 2023, despite all the allegations made against him by Ray Fisher and others trying to, you know, hide all of the bad shit that happened on the Justice League set to him and to all the others. So we fast forward a bit to now. So the Warner Brother and Discovery merger cost about $43 billion.
Jesus Christ. Okay, that's bigger than I thought it was.
It is a lot of money. And which, compare that to Disney and Fox. Disney and Fox, that merger was close to $70 billion, which is just insane to me. But this merger won't be expected to close until around the middle of 2022. The Discovery president and CEO, David Zaslav, I imagine that's how his name is pronounced. If it's not, yes, I'm very terrible with names.
Zaslav.
He's going to be leading the new company, whatever it's going to be called. The future of WarnerMedia's current CEO, Jason Kilar, it's uncertain. Zaslav's goal is to have 400 million streaming subscribers around the world, which is a step up from the combined 100 million the companies have today. He did not give a specific date on that goal, which is a smart thing, because that's so much. Netflix right now has a little over 200 million subscribers, and Netflix has been around for a very long time. And this is where some controversy comes into this.
This is where controversy is?
Not yet. This is more not with DC, but this is few people at both companies were aware that the merger was even happening. So that means that there's definitely going to be a lot of restructuring within Discovery and Warner Media, and this will segue into our main topic. Is the DCEU dying? Is it dead? Is it dead on the streets? Well, with this deal, there's going to be a lot of changes coming. Will Walter Hamada stay president? Well, we know at least through 2023 he will be. I imagine Jeff Johns is going to be out soon. He's still producing DC stuff right now. But with this deal, this made us think of, is DCEU, is that even a thing anymore?
For those who aren't aware.
Because you look at the entire library of upcoming things, it is just, I'm going to use harsh language now, it is a clusterfuck of what the hell are they doing.
So,
because, like, stuff will be, but stuff won't be.
For those who aren't aware, DCEU stands for DC Extended Universe, which means they're films, basically. They're in this universe films.
Basically, they're Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, from Man of Steel through now of DC films, not including Joker, and soon to be not including the Batman. I think that's it. Also, while we were watching this podcast, more news keeps dropping. That's pretty funny. I'm gonna ignore it though till next week. Anyway,
yeah,
this is all kind of a mess. I like DC as a whole a lot. I've grown up on DC and Marvel my whole life. So I've also grown up more on Spider-Man than anything else.
It started as Spider-Man, but then it exploded into Marvel once the MCU came around.
And then you've come to DC like later in life and enjoyed stuff too, and it's fun. We both give at least more positive than negative reaction to every DCU, mostly.
Yeah.
Nier's loves Suicide Squad.
No.
No. Either version.
Justice, I watched the theatrical Justice League like the day before the Snyder Cut came out. My God, the quality, it got so much worse than when we watched it back in, I think it was November. I don't know what happened, but like my brain Dostoyevsky. Like, just got hardwired.
Dostoyevsky. Is this God? I hope this is East. God, I hope this is East. That's the Pacific, right? Why is Flash so bad at directions in that movie? Anyway, and moving past that, DC over the whole, I'm so interested in. I wish they removed one of their movies from continuity, and you all can figure out which one that is later on. Just argue in the comments, like in reviews and stuff.
Do I know which one?
The only one that breaks continuity extremely, yes. To me, is Wonder 84 is what it is.
Ah, yeah.
Also, the racism.
Especially with the Snyder Cut, like with that existence, you go from like the first Wonder Woman movie where it works, in tone to the Snyder Cut. Then you have Wonder Woman 84, which is technically still in continuity, but like that 30-year difference of like complete change in tone, just like. And this is why you need a Kevin Feige type person to make sure it all stays consistent. Because it's not consistent.
Yeah, I don't mind tonal differences in movies. Because like, I like having Birds of Prey's own tone and style versus like Man of Steel. Because it fits the story and the narrative. It's fine. But it's weird the continuity. She can fly.
She can make
an invisible jet. Like.
Okay. Look, that entire movie is a whole topic conversation in and of itself. If we talk about that, we're going to be here forever.
Yeah. So DCEU, we overall enjoy more than not enjoy. But yeah. We also recognize that there's a bit of a messy track record with some things. also,
to say the least.
F.U. Jeff Johns. I used to love your comic books. Now I struggle to read my favorite. Okay. I own a few of his comics. It's upsetting because it's my favorite Justice League run. It was the New 52 Justice League beginning of it, at least. I love that. And now it hurts.
Ever since the theatrical Justice League came out, that was when all the problems started. Because before it had released, you had like the Flash movie, Cyborg, Green Lantern, Ben Affleck's Batman movie. Like, it was still keeping in line with kind of how Marvel did their kind of thing. And it was supposed to be like, you know, kind of one a year thing. But then once the movie came out, after Warner Brothers, Joss Whedon, Jeff Johns, and all of them just fucked it up so hard. And then they're like, oh no, the movie did poorly. Guess we gotta go do some new things. And it's just like, no, you're the ones that caused this problem. They're like, no, we didn't, as they kept making new things happen. And oh yeah, Suicide Squad, that also belongs in the bunch of Warner Brothers fucking up movies.
I don't think it was gonna be good anyway, to be honest, because David Ayer's writing was not amazing.
Yeah, the only movie I've seen from him, which I've only seen three of his movies, that I like, was Fury. That to me was a pretty good and solid movie. So when I heard he was making Suicide Squad, I was excited. And then I saw the movie, then I saw the extended cut, and I was just like, never mind.
What's pretty funny is I liked Bright until I saw Onward. Because it's the same concept, done way better in Onward.
When I saw Bright the first time, I loved the concept, but then I watched the movie and I'm just like, okay, you got two problems. A, I can't tell what the hell is happening. It's so dimly lit. Like, I get it's ironic. The movie's called Bright and you can't see a damn thing. But
that's ironic.
It's ironic in a stupid way, because I don't think that was intentional. And then problem number two, it's poorly written. David Ayer didn't write it, but the writer just... No, both as a person and as a writer, no.
No, David Ayer did write Suicide Squad.
No. I know Suicide Squad. I was talking about Brian.
Right, yeah. So, back to the DCEU, and also with the news of nothing seems to be wanting to be connected anymore. They keep saying, it's an off-world. Like, what's in the world then? What's in the world then, Hamada? If you want things to keep existing. And they keep saying, everything's on Earth 2 now. That's not how multiverse works. The Earth...
The show Stargirl is in Earth 2, and you're saying Matt Reeves' The Batman is also in Earth 2.
Well, it's a big Earth.
It's an Earth, yes, but still.
Maybe Gotham's in Canada, you don't know. It's in Europe.
Maybe.
It's in Russia.
Man, if Gotham is in Canada, man, I feel bad for Canada on that Earth, because it's just like Canada is like it's great and normal Earth, but then there it's just like if that's like, you know, one of their big cities, oh boy.
If Gotham's in like, you know, Belgium though, like our like one viewer from Belgium there, that'd be awesome because you can meet Batman.
Thing. Yeah, like it's infuriating, like as a viewer, especially of just like because you have no idea like what's in like the same world anymore. Because it's just like, oh, it's in the multiverse. It's just like, okay, that's fine, but you didn't start it out that way, and now you're just kind of like rushing to fix it so that way it can work. And like the Flashpoint movie, especially, like is just, and it's the Flash movie, but we all know it's the Flashpoint. They're just doing that to erase Snyder's movies. They're not going to say that, but we all know that's exactly what's happening, which I think is a shame. Yeah. Because BVS and the Snyder Cut are great, but and just to do that, and then like everything else behind the scenes,
Josh,
of that movie over. Yes,
we're going to get hate for saying that BVS is great, but it is great. So move
on. The Ultimate Edition. Redefine something. Ultimate Edition, not the theatrical cut. There's a distinct difference there.
I think the theatrical is still good, just not.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Great, it's okay, it's fine.
And let me say something. I used to hate the movie as well. I only recently came around to it.
You opened your third eye.
Yes, open your eyes, people. Like, all the eyes that you have in your skull, however many it is. If you have none, then smell better. I don't know. I don't know.
Remember, skate better.
Just open all your pores and just think with an open mind. But back to Flash, that movie, just everything. Like, I want to know the history of this movie, because it was supposed to get made, like, not too long after Justice League came out. And then just, like, it went through so many writers and directors and then just everything else that was happening. And now it's apparently being shot, despite there still being troubles behind the scenes of, like, of everything with Ray Fisher, and then Billy Crudup leaving as Barry's dad. And
that's
just
scheduling,
like,
though. Like, I understand that.
It's scheduling, but still. And, like, Supergirl's in the movie, you have Michael Keaton's Batman, you have Ben Affleck's Batman. It's just, like, what is this movie?
For those who don't know, Flashpoint is an event that happened in DC Comics, where Barry Allen, the Flash, went back in time to save his mom from her killer. And in doing so, it made a ripple effect all throughout time, forward and backwards, changing a lot of events and creating this hellscape world where Aquaman and Atlanteans are fighting the Amazonians and all this stuff. And it's an insane world that he tries to go back and fix it again. So they're trying to do that style of epic scale giant time travel movie without having the same characters. Like, this isn't a Flashpoint movie, honestly. Because Flashpoint,
Yeah.
there's no Supergirl in Flashpoint. There's no two Batmans in Flashpoint. This is a weird movie.
They're taking the Days of Future Past approach of just saying that it's based on the story, but not really, and just using it as an excuse to retcon what they believe are the mistakes that came before. But the only mistakes they made were the mistakes that Warner Brothers themselves made to the films. So it's just like, it's on you. Like, at least with X-Men, like with like Origins and Last Stand, that was more like the writers and directors' choices that weren't that good. But here, it's mostly Warner Brothers' decisions, which, and now they want to just screw it all up just to say that there's a multiverse. What? And then people just ask, is this movie in the DCEU? It might be. Is this one? Yes. Is this one? No. But it might be. It's just like they themselves don't even know what's going to be canon and what's not going to be canon.
Now, Josh, I feel like I should say this because it's a piece of news that just dropped.
Is it important?
It's about Green Lantern.
Who? What happened?
So, in the Green Lantern show, it looks at Jeremy Irvine is in talks to play Alan Scott. He plays young Sam in Mamma Mia 2.
Wait, what?
So, one of the guys who plays one of the three boy suitors, the young version, is in talks to play Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern. And that's just funny to me. I don't care. Like, I'm going to say yay because Mamma Mia 2 is hilarious.
Mamma Mia 2
It's very
is
white.
like
It's very white.
it's so white, but like I had no expectations going into it, but God, I loved it.
Anyway, back to DC. Is the DCEU dead, Josh, do you think, at this point?
At this point, I want to say yes because like out of like all the films that have been announced, the only ones still in the DCEU are Aquaman 2, Shazam 2 and 3, Black Adam, and The Flash. If I might be missing a few.
I don't know if Wonder Woman 3 is still going to happen after everything that happened with Wonder Woman 2 and with Gal Gadot right now.
Well, we as far as we know, they did after Wonder Woman 2 came out, they did announce Wonder Woman 3 was
Right.
happening, but like with current events in the world, we'll see.
Right, because in the way they handled Middle East stuff in Wonder Woman 2 was not great. Like, just politically speaking, if you know what's happening in the world right now in Middle East, they did some
Not
interesting
good.
things in 84 that were not fantastic. So, also, DC Comics is quite a mess right now. I like their comics, like their stories, but just get it together, people. I don't know if it's dead right now. I love people are saying the DCE was revived because Zack Snyder showed a picture of Wayne T. Carr as Green Lantern. That's
Like,
hilarious to me because a director showed a picture of a concept art thing. Everyone's like, it's saved. This didn't even get made. What are you talking about? This wasn't in the movie.
my favorite thing was I saw a post someone made on like Instagram talking about that. They said, Zack Snyder showed the image of Wayne as Green Lantern. Then a few days later, the Discovery merger was announced. Coincidence? Like, the two have no correlation with one another whatsoever. Like, Snyder is not God. Everything he does not have ripple effects within the universe. Like, it's not like if, like, in No Way Home, like, Andrew Garfield, like, sneezed during an interview, then, like, a few days later, he's announced to be in the movie. The two have nothing related to one another. So it's just like the thought process. I need to understand how they came to the math equation on this one.
I still think that Andrew and Toby will probably have at least some sort of thing happening in No Way Home. But who knows at this point. I think we'll talk more about DC in the future a lot, but if it's, I know it's also about, this might seem like a rush topic, but again, there's so many news, we have only so much time to talk about things. We're already
Yeah.
almost an hour into this podcast. So this DCEU dead, I'm going to say for that, currently, it's treading water. It's just trying to throw things at a wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, for me right now, I'm gonna say at the DCEU as we knew it is has been dead for a bit, and like we're starting to see the transition into what they called, I don't remember how many years ago,
The
the
world of
World of
DC.
DC, which I hate that name,
It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
just to make a multiverse happen, and I can't wait to see the utter confusion from people watching it, just like not knowing like what is in what's related to what. It's gonna be a mess. And then once people are confused by this giant mess that they created, they're gonna do another Flashpoint or another Flashpoint type story to make it all one universe again. Just just wait and see.
Like I said last week, just like stop for 10 years and let me do it. Let us direct it. Please. Me and my buddy Josh here and our friend like Team Money is what I'm gonna call him here. Let us make these movies.
We'll actually plan things out. We won't just like greenlight stuff and then just like cancel it like a few years later, like with Ava DuVernay's New Gods, just canceling that. Like
that
why?
Was so mean.
That was she's a great director. I would have loved to see what she would have done with New Gods, but oh no, Darkseid was in the Snyder Cut, so it's gonna confuse the fans. No, stop! Don't you say it's confusing the fans. Everything else you're doing is confusing the fans.
That excuse is horseshit, especially considering they've said that before. They're like, they're trying to do the Batman, but it's still not Ben Affleck's Batman, but they're both existing still. And all these other things, like, but you're saying that Darkseid can't exist twice in a movie that wasn't even canon in the first place? Speaking of which, do you think that Snyderverse will be restored from this?
With the way this deal is, there could be a much stronger possibility now because I
AT&T
don't
AT&T loves like, Snyder.
Yes, but like Warner Brothers like just wants to like just rush it under the rug, just like they don't want to admit that they did anything wrong with how they treated Snyder, Ray Fisher, so many other people during the movie. They want to deny it for as long as they can. But once the heads change, because there's definitely going to be changing heads in this whole thing, there's a strong possibility that it could get greenlit. We'll see, but I have more faith in that it could happen now.
And on that note, I mostly agree with that statement. The DCEU is struggling. If you don't want, again, DC, just get it together. DCEU is struggling. Yes. Fix yourself. Check yourself. And just skate better. Just skate better. On that note, with skating better, I bring you to the best transition ever, just telling you to skate better. The movie Brink is the third ever DCOM and the second one in the year 1998. DCOM stands for Disney Channel Original Movie. This is a very weird movie. It's very 90s.
It's been the most 90s movie I've seen since Jonah Hill's movie mid-90s. That's how 90s it is.
It's very mid-90s. Like, it's not even like a very late... It doesn't feel late 90s to me, but... It's interesting. I have pages upon pages of notes here. Let's start with the guy who... What?
I was gonna say, before we get into, like, the actual, like, the notes we took, let's talk about, like, just what the film is about.
Yeah, sorry, we didn't do it last time, I wish we did that last time, because upon listening to that, I'm like, oh, people who don't know what this is was very confused with The Lucky Dog, probably. So this movie...
I think for a film like that, it's more fun.
Yeah, but this one didn't need a little bit of context. This is about a boy who, he's Brink, that's the thing, he likes being called Brink. What's his first name? Do you know his first? Jay, something? I don't know.
Brinky Boy. Anthony, and then, yeah.
Brinky Boy. Brinky Boy, the skater boy, he loves skating. He loves soul skating. Skating for the fun of it. His dad's like, no, don't do that too much. Why are you so happy? He's like, I love it, Dad. Let me do the skating. Let's not sell out to the man. And so the man comes into the picture. And so this skater ex-boys, the guy with the yellow shirts, his arch enemy Val, they are like, we wanted to take pictures in our skate park here, for this magazine, and for our cool deals. And a skatey boy, Brink, is all like, but we were here first! And so, naturally, a fight comes up, and people get all riled up. And the movie is basically just the idea of, don't sell out to the man, be yourself, you be you, skate on, brother.
Okay, that's the first thing I want to talk about this movie is the concept of not selling out. In the context of the movie, his parents like are in financial troubles because his dad has been on disability leave. Yes, and so Brink decides that he's going to join the rival team X-Blades because they get paid for skating. So he's like, oh, I love skating, so I might as well get paid for skating. I may hate the people I skate with, but I'll get money to help my family. He doesn't tell his friends, and by the time that they figure it out, they're just like, you sold out to the man, how dare you? And he literally says to them, but I needed the money.
And she's like, we all do, bitch, move on. It was so funny.
So it's just like, don't sell out, because selling out is for losers.
Okay, so I have a lot of notes here. Let's start with this. The guy who played Brink was voiced was voiced Sid in Toy Story. The guy who played the main character was Sid. And that's
wild. It's even better!
He also, what else? He was in our Disney Channel things, but like that was the funniest thing that he did. Also, his dad told him English to him saying "what up," and that was the dad's first line, like "what up, English." Like, that's not radical language. Like, it's not.
I've got some great quotes here.
Oh, me too.
Did you say today I'm going to talk or today I'm going to skate? That's apparently their philosophy because it's said many times throughout the movie.
Is it really?
I don't get what it means. There's a great exchange between his dad, like around the beginning. So Brink is walking into the kitchen. He goes, "Yo, what's up, fam?" And his dad says, "No one should be that happy all the time. It's just not normal."
I have that written here. Hold on. I love when he ran in saying, "Yo, what's up, fam?" And his dad responded, "No one should be that happy." I cracked up laughing so hard. No one should be that happy all the time. What the heck? And later on in the movie, he has an opposite reaction. No one should be that sad.
Yeah, but then right after he says no one should be that happy, he says, "You see, Katie is a normal child. It's the first day of school, and she's miserable."
Yeah, that was like, you want your child to be unhappy? Anyway, my next note I had was, in the first scene, when they're sitting, like, waiting for a bus, first off, there's a bus that's, like, it's a school bus that's going to take them to... That was a school bus. Yeah, a school bus to take them to the beach. What is this?
You have skates. Skate to the beach.
That's what I'm saying. Why do they? Before I knew it was having a movie, I said, why do they all just have skates there? And like, if skating wasn't their plan, why do they have? It was just.
Yeah.
It's like, oh look, and then he pulls out like, and they're like shocked by it. You have skates? We can use these to travel.
When it gets to like after the summer, when it gets to like back to school, the girl, I forgot her name,
Gabrielle,
when she comes wearing like a dress, like they're mortified at this. They're just like, "What happened to you?
I know that you're too. Not."
I'm just like, the most horrifying thing to these kids is that the girl is dressed like a girl. Ah, it's so terrifying.
Okay, hold on. I got other things. I love when she said, "Stop saying guys all the time." It's like, again, stop saying guys. This is just, like, normal talking. Okay, do girls actually get mad at that? Because if so, I'm sorry. You can change the language, but, like, this was really funny. I'm like, doesn't seem like it's actually an issue in the world. That's, like, saying people. Also,
one of the 90s slang that I just did not understand for the life of me, I think she was talking about, like, some kind of, like, clothing or something, or he said, I think it was Brink. He said, "Personally, I think it's fat. P-H-A-T. I had to turn the subtitles on to make sure I heard what I heard correctly.
I know that one already. Fat means cool, yeah.
Okay, because I was just like, I know that our generation has, like, insanely stupid slang words, but just like, what does this mean?
Yeah, like, that literally just means cool, yeah.
I wrote, "Dog Man from You Lucky Dog is more human than Brink is."
Like, what scene made you write that?
Like, it's just every time Brink showed up and just started talking, it was like a 90s computer, like, just, like, spit him out. And every time he said words, I wanted to punch him in the face. I hated it so much.
Let's see. The guy said, I don't know any two guys' names who are his best, like, friends.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, in the first escape park, the guy said, "Check it out." And then we got a close-up of the hat they're looking at with the words on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said the words "check it out," then he showed what we're checking out, and then immediately he said what it was, like he read it out loud. I'm like, we just saw that, why are you saying it again?
There's a great moment where they pull a prank on the rival team by changing one of their sandwiches to have worms in it, and they all held up signs one at a time that said "don't be a wuss," and then like I guess a teacher or something came over and she was just like, "What's going on here?" And then the guy said, "I thought I saw a bug," and then her response is, "Well, get over it," and she walked away.
Okay,
I loved that.
I have more things to say about that whole scene. Let me find that. I was there because it was. First off, it was weird that this movie for a bit became the movie How to Eat Fried Worms. Like,
yes,
that was weird.
And
it's weird that I've now seen two kids' movies where people are forced to eat worms. That shouldn't have happened. I shouldn't have seen two kids' movies about that.
My note is literally, is this how they eat fried worms now?
I also, why did the teacher even come up to him spitting out food? It made no sense. Like, he wasn't doing anything wrong. It was like, the guy came up, spit out food, and then she's like, "What's the problem here?" It's like, I didn't like my food. Like, you could just say, like, there's no, what? Also, like, earlier in the movie, there was a line that said, "Oh man, you got warped. You all right, bro?" And that was pretty funny.
What?
There's a great line here that someone says, Where is it? Oh, the only one of the four kids who wasn't wearing their helmet fully was the one who gave them advice, and that was really funny. Like on the skate park, he was the only one who wasn't wearing his helmet properly. He like it wasn't buckled, so it could have
Yeah.
fallen off, and he's the only one who's helping them out. Also, yikes, transphobia at every getting at when they said getting arrested for impersonating a boy. No, you like don't be transphobic. What
Oh,
else?
God.
Go
I
ahead.
wrote no skaters have ever been this popular in high school ever. Because just like when after the whole worm incident, just like they're about to like skate fight, I guess.
Skate
Just this
fight.
giant crowd. I'm just like, I've known skaters in high school. They've never been popular like this ever.
I don't know if they actually were. I think it's people like, saw people doing the wrong thing. Like, what's happening? Like how a fight is.
But they stuck around for the race. And
That's true.
also, how they have time to set up all the things for the race? Because
That was
just
really
like
funny.
you have lunch, like you have classes to go to. Also, where are the adults? Where was that woman that told the kid to get over it? Where did she go? Like, what?
Let's see. I have more notes. It was nice of the girl giving her the guy like extra shoes, but they would not fit, probably.
I have a
Also,
continuity error with that. She goes into school wearing a dress. She has clothes, but she's not going to wear them because she doesn't have the shoes. Next scene, she's wearing the clothes she brought, but she doesn't have the tennis shoes. And she said she wasn't going to change. What?
Let's see. Also, where is it? I lost. I played. Oh, there's a Power Rangers in this movie. Walter Jones from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is in this movie. That's amazing. Like the original Power Rangers lineup, he's the
Huh?
Zach. He's the Black Ranger. Anyway, he's also a black actor. He is the only guy who stood up for Brink in the end against Val. That's a Power Ranger. The fact that you had a Power Ranger keeping your back, that's cool. Also, I still love it. This dad in the Fromoth movie might be my least favorite dads in any ECOM, but not because he's evil or anything, just he's annoying.
Because like Rink like one like told him like I have a job and it'll be for skating. I'll be making money skating. Like I'll be getting to do what I love and making money from it. And his dad is against that. I'm just like, what? Why? Like, you're making money off of doing it. Like, oh, but it's not an honest, hardworking living. It's just like, well, screw you then. I'm still gonna skate and make money off of it.
Like
Like,
also,
what?
if you're hurt, you're complaining about how he's making money. You can't if you can't work. It's weird. Why was the dad's entire character a much worse version of Uncle Ben from the Raimi films? He's like, I can't work at a factory where our bills are not paid. Be responsible. He was
He's
just.
Uncle Ben's salty twin brother that just got all the shit in life where well, okay,
Well,
Uncle Ben did not
I,
get good
no,
in
hold
life
on.
towards the
You
end.
realize who Uncle Ben's brother is, right?
I know who his brother is. I just that's why I said twin brother.
Okay, because his brother didn't do well either.
I'm
Just
aware,
saying.
neither of them did well. The Parker family has not been doing so hot lately.
One more day. Anyway, we'll get to that later. Also, they even had the exact same scene from Spectacular Spider-Man with Peter hearing like with like hearing money problems from the room in the kitchen. Like that was like okay. I at one point I started changing his name in my notes to Discount Peter Parker, but
Yeah, from the get-go, I called him a cool dude, and cool is spelled KEWL for the 90s.
Oh yeah. Also, the line, at least you got two parents, was such a random line to throw in that didn't add anything. It felt really weird and unnatural.
I got some other great lines. Like when he's talking to his friends in their the home econ class where they're baking stuff, he says, "Guys, friendships are like baking a cake." I'm
Yes,
just
I wrote
at
that
that
down
point,
too.
I was ready to turn off the movie. I was just like, "What is this?" And then,
I was laughing so hard because it was so stupid.
you just let Val slime all over you. Like,
That
what
sounds
does that
inappropriate.
mean? It does. I was just like, "Is this turning into not a Disney Channel movie?"
Oh, Val, anyway.
When his
Oh.
dad's telling him to get a different job, he tells him, I think, to work at a pet store, and he goes, "I don't know a lot about animals." And then his dad said, "You babysit your sister. Shouldn't be any difference." Like,
And
what is
what?
this movie?
And that would be fine if he didn't say she's already normal. You can't have it both ways. Also, I also wrote once wrote out Brink's name as Long Hair 90s Boy. So I wrote, of course, Long Hair 90s Boy went to try out for the sellouts because that's what he needed to do. It made sense. Which reminds me, we won't sell out immediately if we get a sponsor.
Oh,
Like, if
easily. Like, if
someone.
you want to sponsor us, please contact us. We will gladly take your sponsorship.
Also, if I could, money that goes to. Also, viewers, you don't need to ever donate to us. That's fine. We have
No,
an
no.
option there, but you don't have to. But, like, sponsorships would actually just help pay for. expanding this podcast and literally paying off the debt it takes to make it, which is not much. It's like $100 a year or something like that, $200 or something like that. But it's nice to not have to actually pay for that. Anyway, also a $200 a week part-time job in the 90s wasn't a bad plan. That dad was dumb.
Yeah. Another great quote came from his little sister. He's such a moody little sack of hormones.
Yes. Go on.
Not you.
Okay. Jimmy, the weird Jimmy boy, the adult who was sponsoring them, who also had no other crew with him ever, like, or correspondence.
Yeah.
Where did they meet him? Some magic lair? There was a scene when they met Jimmy. Well, look at the command center from Power Rangers. Or, like, a mix with, like, some mystical land. It was weird and techy and spacey.
I want to know what he does, because he didn't even choose Bring for the team. Like, Val got to choose that. It's just like, sir, I think you're the one that needs to choose who's going to be on your team, so that way, A, you know how good they are, and B, who you know you're going to pay. Because it's just like, you have the money. Like, bro, do some work here.
The entire message also from Disney saying don't sell out is pretty ironic.
Yeah. It was the 90s Disney. No,
I also
90s
wrote
Disney
down
also sold out.
The line, do it or vacate, and then good doggy. What was that? That's the same person saying both those lines back to back. Do it or vacate. And then he does it. He's like, good doggy. What is this movie? That's not slang. What is this?
By the end of the movie, I came to the realization that skating is not that interesting to me.
Right? It's so boring to watch. For like the whole end sequence was like, this is not fun.
It only got good like when it was the downhill thing, but like the rest where it was just like them on the ramps, just like, you know, it's cool that you guys can do this, but I'm not at all interested watching it.
Which I guess it's also a demographic thing too, I guess, but that's not.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But also, there's a moment when his dad says says to him, "I got you a job," and the music does like a little record scratch thing.
Yeah.
That made me laugh so hard because it's like this little boing. Like, I'm like, it's the exact energy of record scratch, and it's so stupid. I loved it.
Yeah.
The montage when he gets the job is pretty terrible.
Yeah.
The entire conflict in the movie could have been avoided if you just communicate from the beginning.
That's what I was saying in my notes. Just like, if he was just honest, like, it would all be fine. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure his friend would have understood, but apparently they didn't, because selling out is for losers.
Well, he only told, like, only one person had that expression to say to him. Only one person was like, and that was Gabrielle. She's like, we all need money, girlfriend.
Yeah. It would have made more sense if they were mad that he, like, teamed up with, like, you know, Val and them because they're just dicks. Like, that would be understandable. But, like, it just seems, in general, selling out and making money off of it is bad.
It reminded me of the scene in BVS when Clark's like, listen to me, instead of just saying what he needs to say.
Yeah.
Or any movie when you do it, say what you're trying to say. It's bothering me.
Yeah, but Soul Skaters, I wrote down Soul Skater. It sounds like it's a Christian skating group. They go around skating and reading off Bible quotes.
Hey, Soul Skater.
Yeah, I think like two genuinely good scenes was towards the end, like when Brink was trying to balance everything, but he couldn't, and his dad like tried to actually have a heart-to-heart with him.
Scene.
And then the one right before, I think it was the final competition, just talking to him about like how he used to skate. He wanted him to like have that same kind of passion, and just kind of actually like communicating, like for real. Like, I was just like, you know what? That's good. Good job, movie.
I also like when the Gabrielle fell, they did like a slow-mo scene. Uh-huh. And the role took so long with her fall. Also, when she fell, there was a really weird, like, sexual tension stare between Brink and Val. It was a really long stare.
When Val, like, threw the rocks out, I was just like, well, that's attempted murder right there.
Yeah, she could have died. Her arm was so bloody.
It was, ow. I'm confused. I thought that they had to compete in the Invitational to be able to compete in the finals, but Soul Skaters, they didn't compete in the Invitational.
Yeah.
So, like, was it just, like, another competition thing?
It didn't make sense.
I don't know.
Also, I wrote, of course, his dad used to skate and hates it now. That's such a huge cliche kind of trope. I did this thing. I'm warning the dangers of this thing. Don't do it.
The dangers. Don't sell that to the man.
Why can't parents in movies just support their kids' hobbies? It's dumb.
Because conflict needs to occur.
Honestly, I feel like every DCOM has that one line that's really good, and this is it. I used to define myself by my job title. That line, actually, I love that line.
Yeah.
Also, blank is what I do, not who I am. I wrote blank because it doesn't matter. Like, that's a good line.
Mm-hmm.
that's really good. I think that's a good way to live life. And that's the message that should have been, that's the message this movie should have been more about, not about don't sell out.
You gotta love it.
Also, there's a scene where Val, who's the big boy meanie, says to our hero Brink, our hero boy, "Oh, we'll get it on for sure." And it, I didn't know how to respond to that line. Because
the way it was shot, the way the line was delivered, it came off so sexual.
I was uncomfortable. And I feel like Val likes him. Because good,
he just doesn't know how to express his love to Brink.
It's good doggy. It's like these lines he says. It's like the way he talks to him. It's
It could just be a subconscious thing. Like he's not aware that he has feelings for Brink. For Brink yet.
Also, that's great. Be gay, do crime. That's great. Also, Val's crew was inconsistent with his support. If they supported them or not. Like if they were nice to the other side.
Well, I think they have like their points. It's just for them, it's just like kind of like a light kind of just like making fun of thing. But Val like takes it one step too far, and they're just like, "Oh no, that's we don't like that. Bad Val."
I wrote down skate better, because
who?
That was really funny. No, the line because there's a quote: skate better, and his little sister could not act at all. So she said, "I have some advice for you, brother. Skate better," and he's like, "Skate better." Yeah, Mom, I should just skate better. I'm like, okay, what is this movie? One of the teams was called Team G-Force, and that was Disney plug. Good job, Disney.
Before it existed. That's the movie we should talk about.
Also, at least with most sports movies, I can tell if you're doing well, but this one I couldn't tell at all because the points didn't make sense.
No, I don't understand how the point system works. It's like in golf. Like, I know, like, the lower you go, but, like, I don't understand how it all works.
All right, my last one here was... I liked, there was one line delivery I really liked, and that was at the end. There's a line. There's Val and Brinky Boy next to her. Val's like, winning the everything, whatever. And Brinky Boy's like, well, at the end of the day, I'm not you, so it's still a good day. That was delivered well, and it was like, okay, damn, that was kind of a good blow.
Yeah.
That's my notes for this movie. Do you have any more notes for yourself?
No, I've gone through like most of my notes that I wanted to talk about. Overall, I found it to be a pretty cliche kids movie. Nothing really wrong with that. It's not made for us. It had some very interesting things. I don't think were intentional at all.
Would you rather watch this again or are you Lucky Dog again?
I say you Lucky Dog because I get to see Dog Man being Dog Man again, and I would always love to see that.
Which would you rather recommend? Hard.
If you want,
I still say Lucky Dog because I want, but not for amazing. Just because like everyone gave their all, and it shouldn't have been a Disney Channel movie.
Yeah, this one belonged to Lucky Dog.
This one belonged to Disney Channel.
Oh, easily 100%.
Not even about quality wise, like it fit that vibe better. Also 4:3, like that's one thing. Well, I guess they're all 4:3 at the time. But
yeah,
it's wild. This movie, I'm gonna give it. A nay, but for one reason, and it's lack of communication with anyone on screen. No one talks to each other in any normal way, even once. And it's very frustrating.
I'm going to give it a nay for me because, like, once it starts to get into that cliched story of just, like, trying to balance, like, the life, not telling people everything, it's just, like, I know exactly where this is going to go. It's not going to surprise me in any way. And by the end, it did not surprise me in any way. So just, like, for that, I'm going to give it an A.
What's pretty funny is that reminds me of superhero stories, but superheroes usually have a good excuse if you might die.
Yeah.
This is just like, but my friends might judge me. No, they won't. Just like, understand that if they know your dad isn't working and your mom doesn't seem to have a job.
Like, no, she's a realtor, but she's having difficulties as well with her job.
So like, this makes complete sense. That was dumb of them.
You're just stupid. All bad friends.
Yeah, that's the news, and that's the topic, and that's the DCOM of the week. So we both gave us a nay, but for different reasons. Yes. I almost gave us a yay, solely for the line, skate better, as a joke. No, I'm kidding. next up is the thing we do called Super Weird Stories, where I tell Josh what it says. Weird stories, or obscure stories, or wholesome ones, or just fun interesting stories or things about superheroes or comics. Not even in comics necessarily, but like there could be a story in real life that involves superheroes. I might tell them. I have a whole topic planned for us soon to talk about real life superheroes with you. I'm very excited. Hopefully you don't know lots. I don't research it yet. But today we're going to talk about a super weird thing that happened in comics, okay?
Alrighty.
If I say the words Captain Marvel, what/who do you think of?
Well, typically I think of the Marvel's version of Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, but as I've come to learn in recent history, when Shazam came out, Shazam was originally Captain Marvel, but then a lot of disputes of names and things, and then Marvel copyrighted the name, so Shazam became Shazam, and Captain Marvel and Marvel became Captain Marvel.
Yeah, side note, Shazam being called Shazam is a stupid name because he can't say his name to anyone.
Yeah.
They could literally call, if he calls him, like, Captain Shaz, or like they say something like that a little bit. I don't know. That's a dumb name too. But so the story I'm going to tell you involves Captain Marvel, and it's not that one. So which one is it?
I'm going with Shazam, Captain Marvel.
No, it's neither. There's another character called Captain Marvel I'm going to talk to you about.
Oh God.
And that's kind of the whole joke about this thing is that there is. This is a, here's a quote from Captain Marvel. Ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Split Zam.
is that the whole quote?
Guess how Zam is spelled XAM, naturally.
Of course.
So we've known of a few characters named Captain Marvel now. Mostly the big two of Carol Danvers, who was Miss Marvel and became Captain Marvel, and there was Captain Marvel who became Shazam. But also, this is from Giant Action issue named Captain Marvel in 1966 by MF Enterprise, which sounds like just motherfucker Enterprise, created by Carl Burgos and Roger Elwood. A character who was, how do I explain this? So he's in a, first off, a full purple suit. That's always fun. He's a blonde, no mask, just full purple. He has a fun belt and an M on his, like a necklace with an M on it.
I'm just imagining Barney with a necklace and a utility belt.
Sure, but like not like tuxedo suit, like suit, like a super suit, like leotard.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know how the original Human Torch at all was an android?
The original Human Torch?
Oh, it's like a different story from every day. So
Human Torch. Yeah.
So. This is also an android, apparently.
Okay, then.
And basically, this Captain Marvel character was an amalgam of, like, different characters. He was Captain Marvel's name, and like him, he was powered by shouting a magic word. And the word he shouted was, ZAM! X-A-M.
At least it's a word that can never come up normally in a conversation.
Right. I don't know how it's even pronounced. It should be pronounced Zam, I'm guessing. How else would you pronounce X-A-M?
I think it would be Zam.
He was also an alien from another world, like many other characters. Just to ensure we cover all bases.
It's like we got Shazam in there, we got alien, we got robots, all combined into one. Anything else?
I don't understand the Android plus robot part, but you know what? We're going to go with it. And also about him, you know what his power is?
I don't know. What is it?
His limbs fall off. All of them.
I just imagine him facing down an enemy and like they're charging at him. It's just like, all right, attack. Just puts out all arms and legs and then just like falls apart, confusing the enemy.
That's
just like,
what happens.
That's what it is. It's just to confuse.
Well, I mean, it attacks, but it's not great. So basically, the good captain's arms, legs, and head would fly free of his torso to tackle a multitude of foes. He could flip distant switches. Like, if his teeter moves too far, it's gonna push him to button. And he could create a sense of profound unease with this. So what you said of distraction.
He just lets his limbs fall off at any point. Of course it's going to cause unease.
The individual body parts had once they have achieved their goal, they're trying to, like, you know, do whatever. He shouts, ZAM! And, like, all of them will reunite to him. So he says, SPLIT! And they all go away. And ZAM, they come back to his body.
I want to see what I'm assuming this was DC, I guess, or became a DC character.
No, it is
okay.
No, it's just by MF Enterprise, looks like.
Okay. I want to see Marvel or DC take this character and try to put him in, like, you know, the gritty, serious world of the comics these days.
Because,
like, most comics are made for, like, more mature audiences now. And, like, I want to see how they can incorporate this character into that.
I would love it if in Shazam! Fury of the Gods, they included this version of Captain Marvel as well. As a fun joke. Because he would kind of fit that tone. They stole other things, too, from this character. Ready for more?
Uh-huh.
He had a sidekick.
Of course. As one does.
His kid's sidekick was named, guess what?
I don't want to know. What is it?
Billy Baxton. Instead of Billy Baxton. Because if you don't know, viewers, Billy Batson, B-A-T-S-O-N, is the alter ego of Shazam / Captain Marvel, who is a complete, who this character's ripping off, pretty much. So Billy Baxton is his sidekick.
Did they get sued out of existence?
Hold on, I'm getting to it. do you know who his foes were?
Yes,
which also
please.
Leads to more obvious issues with copyright. His foes were characters such as Plastic Man, Doctor Doom, and Doctor Fate. Two of those are DC. One of those is Marvel.
And I'm assuming that none of them have any correlation at all to the people that they stole them from.
Correct. Dr. Fate in this is a character who is... might be in a wheelchair? I can't tell. He's sitting down in the picture I see. He has a gizmo, a bunch of machines. He has a big white mustache. A sharp jaw. He has the gray temples like Mr. Fantastic for Dr. Fate. There's a character one of his enemies is called Atom Jaw. Who is just in this picture of him? He's wearing green pants, loafers, and a sweater.
All right then.
But so Captain Marvel, this version of Captain Marvel here. He also had a villain called. His most dreaded enemy of all was called the Bat. But a cease and desist order from DC Comics reminded MF Enterprises that it was treading dangerously close to a certain Caped Crusader. So the villain's name was. Yes. What?
That's when they sent the cease and desist?
Well, because Batman matters to them, clearly.
I know, but still.
But, ready for more?
Yes.
Okay. They reminded it was trying dangerously close to Cape Crusader. The villain's name was from the Bat was changed to The Ray, also name of a one-time popular superhero.
God.
Ultimately, the troubled Captain M only lasted for a handful of issues, and the publisher folded after less than a year with a measly three titles to his name. So with he had three title issues, and he had a few issues, but after so much battling with copyright stuff, he just, the author of the comics gave up on it.
Yeah.
Which, I gotta say, is a fun story to tell. Like, this character is so dumb.
God.
Just, like, don't steal stuff.
It's obvious, like, both DC and Marvel have taken, like, characters from each other, but, like, did similar things, but also made them their own characters. And then you have something like Deadpool, like, which is intentionally trying to be as close to Deathstroke as possible. But, like, this, it's just, like,
This is clearly also not a parody, either. Like, this is, like, he just took everything from everyone.
Billy Baxton. Like,
Baxton.
Wow.
Yeah.
Baxton. Like, you really couldn't have tried to make a different name.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That is our super weird story for the week. If you want to hear, do you want to hear any more like weird character ones sometimes?
Yes. Okay. I'm so curious.
I have a lot of weird characters that have been existing or have been made for like a few issues and then never came back.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually, some weird stories have to be whole episodes because they're just too weird.
Yeah.
Like One More Day.
I've read that one.
We'll get to that at some point in the future. So that's this podcast. We are powered by Acast, where you can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, Audible, soon to be Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. They take long to approve us, which is dumb. I think we also might be on iHeartRadio. That's kind of neat.
I think we're on it. Find out for yourself.
Well, I mean, I can check right now. Let's do. Oh, here, I'm gonna make an attempt to check something. while on the podcast. That's rare. We are on iHeartRadio.
Hell yeah.
So if you listen to iHeartRadio, you can find us there too. Of course, if you're listening right now, you already found us. So congrats. Thank you. Keep spreading the word. We do fun things. Next week, we are watching Halloween Town.
I might have seen that once as a child, but if I did, I have completely forgotten it.
Also, everyone, please send in your ideas for episodes, for topics. I'm excited. We will probably eventually go back to the idea of, is the DCEU dead, many times, because not like as a whole topic again, but because it's going to keep coming up.
kind of like this is like a continuous update on the idea.
Because, like, it's complicated. Anyway, that was this episode. Thank you for listening. You can check out Josh at Places.
Yes, check me out on my YouTube channel, which is my name, Josh Rudolph. You'll find me with a fake mustache and a hammer on the icon. Twitter, J_Rudy28. Instagram, J_Rudy16.
You can find me, and apparently now on TikTok, you can find me at That Nerd and Theater on TikTok. You can find me, I don't really post much. You can find me on Twitter at The Theater Nerd, on YouTube at Nerd Talk Productions here. Also, the Twitter at nerdtalk_prod, and the email to send in things to us is at nerdtalkproductionsyt@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to leave positive reviews. Like, leave 5-star reviews where you can. Help us get
more
viewers. Please leave comments. Send emails in. We want to have interaction with you all. It'd be great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.